And we're in chapter 1, so you can open up to chapter 1. So some of you here know Daphne. Daphne is from India, and she came to visit us in June. So you, if you were here in June, you got to meet her. Daphne became an aunt this week. So her brother had a little girl, little niece, and she sent pictures. And so I saw the pictures from the little niece that was like, you know, 2 hours old or however she was when they took the pictures. And she looked just like Daphne. The niece did. I looked at these pictures and I said, oh my goodness, that looks like Daphne. I mean, you know, obviously in a very small package, but it just looked just like her. And that's kind of, you know, that's one of those DNA things. There's a blood relationship there, and there's some DNA in Daphne that's probably in the baby, and they have some of the same looks. And the look is in the family, so to speak. Kind of like when Carissa and Rebecca were both really young, they looked so much alike. they look much different from each other now, but when they were, man, you see pictures of them at roughly the same age, and sometimes it's hard for us to say, was that Carissa or is that Rebecca? I'm not sure which one that was, because they look so much alike. And Genesis says that everything reproduces after its own kind, and that's true. You look around, and that's the way it works. So that, you know, when a cow is born and it grows up, it sits around and eats grass because it has cow genes in it. And when a tiger is born, it's got tiger genes. And so it wants to hunt deer, and it has orange and black stripes. And when an eagle is born, it has eagle genes. And it wants to fly and snatch fish from the lake because it's just born that way. And when you were born, you have DNA that causes you to live a certain way. So, what then happens when you are born again? Because the Bible says you are, if you are in Christ. It says you've been born again. Born of the Spirit. Born of the living and abiding Word of God. What happens when that is the case? It's as if you have a different DNA, a new set of genes, a spiritual set of genes, spiritual DNA, if you want to put it that way, that God puts inside you. You know, old you, new you, kind of thing. So then, if you have a different DNA, live that way. Live out your DNA that God has given you, the spiritual one. Now, we've already seen this idea in Peter, this idea of live out who you are. You know, God has caused you to be born again. He said that earlier in verse 3. He's caused you to be born again to a living hope. And then he later says that you're to walk in that hope. Because you were born again into it. And so walk in the thing that you were born again to. And that idea is all throughout the Bible. Today we're going to see it again. Only it's going to be a little bit different terms. It is going to be born again, but he's going to ask us to live in a different way because we've been born again. So 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 22 to 25, so you can follow along with me. It says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass.
The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news
that was preached to you. Now, last time we were in 1 Peter, we saw that there was one command that drove the whole section, and everything else was sort of built on that command, kind of like Legos, if you know what those are. You know, one idea with Legos snapped on top of that idea. This is the same thing. There's one command, and everything else is built on that one command. And Peter has basically been going through giving us a set of commands through chapter 1 with things attached to those commands. Two weeks ago when we were back in 1 Peter, it was conduct yourselves with fear in the time of your exile. And then he gave you reasons for doing that and so on. Today, the command that drives the whole section is in verse 22. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Why should you love one another earnestly from a pure heart? Verse 22. Because you have purified your souls through the obedience to the truth. For brotherly love. And so since your souls have been purified for the purpose of love, well, love. That's the idea that Peter is saying there. And then he gives a second idea. And that follows the command. And that's now in verse 23. And so he says, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. And you've been born again by the living and abiding word of God. And then verses 24 and 25 sort of go off and describe that word of God. That's the structure of what we're going to look at today. Now, Peter says, he's already said, that we're exiles here in wherever we live. Whether it's China or America or wherever, if you're a Christian, you're an exile. You're an outsider. You're like a foreigner, an alien, wherever you live. So that I am an alien in America, though I am an American, because I am a Christian. And America doesn't think like God thinks. And so I'm kind of weird here in America. And you're kind of weird in your country if you follow Christ. And being born again is part of the reason why we're different. Because it gives us a new nature. It changes us. And love is part of that nature. So let's first talk about this command, this love stuff. So he says, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, is what Peter says. And love, here in America, love is probably, it may be the most abused word in the American dictionary. I don't know, maybe you can think of other words, and there are other words that get abused in America. But love is up there at the top. People don't really know what it is. Some people will say that love is, it's an action, not a feeling. And that's half true and half not true. Love is always from the inside. It's not just an action. In fact, if you look at the verse, look at what he says. He says, you have verse 22, the purpose of having a pure soul is a sincere brotherly love. Sincerity comes from the inside. And then keep reading. Love one another earnestly. That comes from the inside. And then he says, from a pure heart. That comes from the heart. And so love is to come from a pure heart. It's to be earnest. It's to be heartfelt. That means feeling is part of love. If you just do actions out of coldness, that's not love. If you just have warm feelings and no actions, that's not love. They go together. The feelings and the actions need to marry. Because love involves action. Think of John in 1 John 3. Remember him saying, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let's not love in word only, but in deed. And so John's saying, love is more than just saying, be warm and fed. Love is actually doing something about it. But doing it from the heart. That's what love is. So it involves both of those things. Love is, on the action side, love is, Jim makes lots of trips to see his parents in Oklahoma because he loves them. He wants to be with them and care for them. It's Elizabeth opening your home last Christmas and having all those people in. That's Zeke Bing. He's nodding his head. He says that's love. It's Hondi caring for your needs, giving people rides and asking how to pray for you. And it's having people for dinner, meeting people for dinner. That's all simple stuff. It's everyday kind of stuff, but it involves love. It's action that flows from a pure heart. Now, love, one of the other misunderstandings of love is that love is nothing more than acceptance. And that isn't really true. Love is not just acceptance of your behavior. That, if I just accept any behavior that you do because I love you, I really don't love you. Because there are times when we do things that need to change. And if I do something wrong, and you just say to me, oh, it's okay, your behavior is fine, you're not loving me. Now, love does accept the person, but it may not accept the behavior. But too many people today think love is acceptance of the behavior. In fact, you don't accept the person if you reject the behavior. That's how America thinks of love. That's not love. That's sin dressed up as love. Just because you put the label love on it doesn't make it loving. Because love is going to call you to righteousness. And it's going to call you to righteousness because God calls you to righteousness. And if I love you, I want what God wants for you. Love isn't looking for your comfort. It's looking for your good. And those are different things sometimes. It means love is going to call you to sexual purity. It's going to call you to doctrinal truth. It's not going to say, oh, you can think anything you want if it's going to hurt you. Or you can do whatever you please when what you please is harmful to yourself or to someone else. And so sometimes love actually has a hard side to it. It's like a father disciplining his child because he loves him. And he doesn't want his child to grow up doing, you know, whatever the behavior is. And so love is going to, it's going to walk alongside you. It's going to encourage you to forgive if you need to forgive somebody, or seek forgiveness if you need to seek forgiveness from somebody. Maybe, you know, somebody, maybe you slander somebody. Love's going to say, you need to deal with this. And not just say, oh, it's okay. We're bros, come on. Love sometimes calls you to repentance. Love is going to point you to Christ. Because that's what's best. Love is going to bring the firmness of the Word of God in the gentleness of the Spirit. And those two things need to come together. And it does much more than that. We could go on and talk about all sorts of things that love does. But then Peter says in verse 23 that one of the reasons why we are to love earnestly from a pure heart is that we are born again. That's why we're to love earnestly from a pure heart. And this born again is a new life. That's what it is. That's what born again means. Birth means life. Born again means again. Now, what gave us this new life? Peter has a contrast there in verse 23. What gave us this new life is not perishable seed. And that word seed is referring to genes, the seed of the father, the seed of the mother. That Bible talks that way. It uses the word seed in those words. And here, seed, right next to being born, it's what it's talking about. Your genes aren't perishable. He's saying you weren't born again physically. That's the idea. That's what perishable seed is getting at. It's not physical DNA that he's talking about here. But DNA that comes from the Word of God. From the living and abiding Word of God. That's where the DNA is. It's a different kind of DNA. And then Peter goes on and he's going to quote Isaiah in verses 24 and 25. And so where you see that, the all flesh is like grass, and the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God remains. He's quoting Isaiah there. That's actually from Isaiah in verse 24. And in that quote, he's contrasting earth with God. Specifically with God's word. So flesh is humanity. That's us. Physical stuff. We're like grass. And the glory of earth is like the flower of the grass. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. That's what earth is. Here today, it's gone tomorrow. It means the glory of Donald Trump is going to pass away. It's nothing, really. And whatever he does in his presidency will be nothing compared to what the Word of God does. Because what he does comes from the flesh. It will be here and it will be gone. But what the Word of God does is forever. It's living and abiding, and it lasts. It means that the knowledge of Steven Weinberg here at UT will pass away. But the Word of God will never pass away. It means that the dreams of your parents or of your friends or of anybody who does not know God are empty. They're empty dreams. They last a few minutes, and they're gone. If you build your life on this stuff, then your dreams will be gone tomorrow. Because that's how long those dreams are going to last. All flesh is like the grass. And its glory is like the flower of the grass. The word of God is forever. That's the contrast. Now, the word of God that Isaiah spoke of, Peter says, is the gospel. Look at verse 25. Now, Isaiah is writing 700 years before Peter. But Peter says Isaiah is writing about this good news that you have received, that's been preached to you guys, the gospel of Christ. Isaiah was writing about that gospel of Christ, Peter is saying. What that means is that good news in verse 25, and this word is the good news that was preached to you, he says. And that word is the same word that's earlier, but the word of the Lord remains forever, which is the same word as verse 23. You've been born again through the living and abiding word of God. It means the gospel is eternal. That's what that means. The message of Christ, the salvation of your souls, is eternal. Now, here's the big picture idea now in these verses. Since we have been born again by this eternal word, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's the big idea in these verses. Life in the flesh doesn't really love God. And it cannot love as God loves. It can only love as flesh loves. And flesh loves one way, and God loves a different way. Life built on the eternal word of God is eternal. It is from God. It is loving. It loves because God does. Now, we got to understand that in the New Testament, when the Bible tells Christians to love each other, it does so with the full knowledge that we have been changed. Love flows out of new life. It never says to someone who has not been changed, go love one another. That wouldn't really be possible, at least with God's love. The new life is the foundation for the love that scriptures call us to. And so we may show love in many ways. You can show love by giving a hug, or by giving a ride, or by opening our home, or by helping you with English, or by all sorts of different... Those are ways that we can show love. But those are not how... That's not how we get love. We get love by being born again. That's where it comes from. And by living in obedience to the truth. That's in verse 22. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth. And that truth is another way of saying the word of God. No matter where you are looking in these verses, you're seeing the Word of God and love tied together. Now these things, it involves submitting to the eternal Word of God. And so this love of the Scriptures comes from a life lived in God's Word. Do you want to love? Get in God's Word. Start filling your mind with Scripture. Start filling your mind with something other than the internet or the movies or the TV or Facebook or whatever. Start filling your mind with Scripture. It will actually transform how you love, because you start filling your mind with God. Because those are God's ideas. That's God who wrote that. And so know it. Know what the Scriptures say. Dive into it. Like a scuba diver diving into the water and exploring every depth of it. Surround yourself with it. The ideas you surround yourself with will affect how well you will love. And so when we make time in our lives for God's Word, what we are doing is making time to help us love people. I don't know if you see it that way. I think Peter sees it that way, because he's connecting those things. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop right there, because we're out of time. And let me pray. Father, praise your name, and thank you that you don't just give us commands, but you give us new life. Then you give us commands. Bless your name. And I thank you that you have put us in Christ, and you have given us your word, and you have built our lives upon your word, which is solid and firm and eternal. Hallelujah. I pray by your grace you make us a people who really do love from the heart. So that you would be glorified. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name.